This is Mel Rojas Jr. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
That is correct, Mel Rojas Jr. You are listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the second place, hopefully soon to be first place, Hanshin Tigers knows no limits. Today is Thursday, October the 21st, and this is episode 137. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me today is my sidekick out in Hawaii, Sanjay. How are you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing all right. I would be doing better if we weren't in second place. What are you going to do?
Yeah, no doubt about it. These are things that are obviously out of the fans' control, and we just want to keep on cheering until there is nothing left to cheer for. And the fact of the matter is, this Hanshin Tigers team is playing at the very least until November the 7th. And so we keep on cheering for them, and we keep on hoping for the best results, which means they'll be playing much longer than that. We've got a great show for you today as we break down how this season has to end in order for the miraculous comeback to happen for us. So strap in, join us for a great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News.
Sanjay, how do you feel about our Nigun farm team? Have you been keeping up with them, man?
You know, I keep up with them by following H10. What do you think of that?
The best place to get news on the Hanshin Tigers, top squad or otherwise. Yes. Okay. Well, let's get down to business, because when we left off last time, it was just 2 days away from the farm championship, which took place on Saturday, the 9th of October, down in Miyazaki Prefecture. It was the Hanshin Tigers second squad against the Eastern League champion, Chiba Lotte Marine second squad. Our team was down 2-0 for most of the game, heading into the top of the ninth. But we pulled it off. We got the 3 runs we needed, and we are the champions of the farm leagues. So way to go, Nigun Tigers. Yay. Yeah. I think actually we scored the winning run on, if I'm not mistaken, it was like a Takayama grounder to first that got bobbled or something like that. So it was an error that brought the run home, but we'll take it.
Kind of fitting, right?
What is? It definitely is. Both of the year Takayama's had and also of the year that the second squad has had on the farm. Everything seems to go their way, and it doesn't mean that they're getting all lucky, but you know, we'll take luck, and you have to be good to be lucky, as they say. So speaking of being good, though, 1 week later, this very same farm team, in the middle of the Phoenix League, which is basically just a fall league for the second squad players, developing players, anyone who's not being cut. So the Tigers are taking on, I believe it was the Yakult Swallows second squad team. And I wish this was a picture of things to come. Kind of was for the night before last game. But our second squad team won 27-5. Ridiculous. We got home runs out of Fumiya Hojo, Jerry Sands, Ryuhei Obata, Shun Takayama, and Taiga Egoshi in that one. So just crazy just to see 27 runs go up in just 8 innings of work. And so I felt like we could not pass up the chance to share that great news about that explosion.
Isn't that some kind of record? It must be close.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't really looked that up. And I don't know if the Phoenix League has its own set of records, because this is not considered an official farm game. So yeah,
right.
But I just like the number 27 now. So
me too.
Yeah. Well, we've got a good number 27 on our team as well. So definitely, you know, in Masashi Ito. So 27 is definitely a great number for us. Okay. Speaking of numbers and players and so on, we should report to you about the draft, which took place 4 days after our last episode. So heading into the first round, as many of you who follow NPB know, any team can pick any player in the first round. And if there is kind of duplicate teams or choices for the same player, then it's a lottery and it's equally weighted. So the team that won the Japan series last year, or the team that's in first this year, or the team that finished last, gets equal opportunity at every player. We tried to get an ace pitcher out of, I believe, Wakayama named Kenta Kozono. And so did the Bay Stars, and the Bay Stars ended up getting him, which, well, good for them. I wish we would have gotten him, but the guy that we got in his place is equally heavily touted as, you know, a future ace of the team. He comes out of Kochi High School, Kochi Prefecture. The last time the Tigers chose a pitcher out of Kochi Prefecture in the first round, you know him, I know him, you love him, I love him, Kyuji Fujikawa. This time we got a guy named Daichi Moriki, and he, of course, grew up admiring Kyuji. And hopefully, hey, if he becomes the next Kyuji, then who cares if we didn't get Kozono, because we got next Kyuji. So Moriki, welcome to the team.
Welcome, Moriki.
Welcoming the rest of these guys real quick, and I'm only going to pause for one guy who had an outstanding outing recently. But second round, we got a left-handed pitcher named Yuto Suzuki out of Soka University. Third round, we got a left-handed pitcher named Takuma Kirishiki out of Niigata University of Health and Welfare. And this is the guy we want to drop the note on, because on the 16th of October, that was last Saturday, he threw a perfect game. And that included 19 strikeouts. Either of those would raise my eyebrows and drop my jaw, but both of them in the same game is amazing.
How do you do that? Man, I want to watch him pitch.
I want to watch that game. I want to try and find the video of it. Well, anyways, pretty exciting to get him in there as well. Fourth round, we got our first position player, an outfielder named Ukyo Mayakawa out of Chiben High School in Nara Prefecture. Looks like he could be a power hitter. I've heard him talk or others talk, and they said something to the effect of Kazuma Okamoto plus Tomoaki Kanemoto divided by two. I'll take it. Wow, I will take it. I mean, if he ends up even divided by three, like if he is two thirds of them, that's okay. All right. Fifth round, we take a kid out of Okinawa, but who played university in Tokyo at Asia University, Hidetaka Okadome. So Asia University is a very well-known baseball school. Haruto Takahashi came out of there. So did Itayama, our outfielder, as well as a bunch of other guys. Aoyagi, maybe, maybe not. I forget. Anyhow, lots of good players coming out of that school, so I'm happy about that. Sixth round, we get a guy named Hiroshi Toyoda, who is an industrial league player or indie league, whatever, Hitachi Motors. Now, think about this, Sanjay. In our most recent drafts, or should I say in our starting lineup for the Tigers, like pretty much the middle of our playing field is Shakaijin players, right? Industrial league. We got Itohara, who came out of the industrial leagues. Nakano right. came out of industrial leagues. Chikamoto right. came out of industrial leagues. Only one of those was an early round draft pick in Chikamoto. The other two were chosen in the fifth or sixth round. So Toyoda, just because he's indie league and just because he's sixth round doesn't mean he's not going to amount to anything. So we can have hopes for him. Seventh round, we get a catcher out of Kyoto International High School named Hayato Nakagawa. And then we got one development pick named Ryo Ito out of Chukyo University. He's a left-handed pitcher. So that's the rundown of the draft. You know, as we say about these drafts, Sanjay, we could be as happy as clams about them right now, but you know, the proof is in how they are doing 3 years, 5 years down the road, and not how they looked in their high schools, universities, and indie league teams.
Or in the case of 2021, the proof might be 1 or 2 months into the season between Ito, Nakano, and Sato.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, just outstanding stuff from them. And so you can already declare that 2020 draft a huge success. That being said, I mean, we kind of said the same of the 2015 draft, and Takayama has amounted to very little since. And so I'm still hoping that these three guys that are shining this year are still shining in 2025 and beyond. All right. Some great news for Tigers fans who don't like the Giants. And that's everybody who likes the Tigers. The Giants, the Yomiuri Giants, had a 13-game winless streak, and they completely fell out of contention for anything. In fact, they still haven't clinched their playoff spot, and they have two games left in their season. So they need to win at least one of those two and hope that the Carp don't run the board, which, you know, it's looking pretty likely the Giants will be in third place, but the Carp sure did give them a scare. All right. The last thing in the rumors and news is to report on some injuries. And believe it or not, we've actually got a fair number of them. So we have been talking about Fumiya Hojo, who seemingly, I don't know if he dislocated his left shoulder or what, he injured it on the 15th of September. He was playing down in the Phoenix League, and as we mentioned earlier, he hit a home run in one of their games, but he re-injured his shoulder on the 18th, just 3 days ago. I don't know, man. It looks like that shoulder could be something that plagues him the rest of his career. I hope not, but this doesn't look good.
Yeah, I hate hearing that, man. It's going to be like, you know, a chronic thing.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle for him just to stay healthy now, let alone finding playing time, which he was struggling to do in the first place. Okay, speaking of guys with arm problems, though, Yuki Nishi left the mound in the bottom of the second against the Giants back on the 13th, so about a week ago. He didn't look good in that outing, and he pulled himself from the mound, so obviously some discomfort. I think it was an elbow. And my guess is he will not play for us the rest of this season, including playoffs. I don't know, the way he was pitching, I'm not going to say that it's a major blow. And I'm also not going to say I'm glad that he's not pitching, but it is cause for concern. And I definitely hope that he is able to come back healthy and back to his 2019-2020 self the next time we see him.
Yeah, well, I wish him, you know, a speedy recovery and all that. But I wonder if this explains why he had been struggling so much the last few outings.
You know, myself and Zorni have been speculating on this for months already, because even, you know, all of 2021, I just feel like he has not been himself. He's been smacked around a lot more. And I think, you know, he's just lost some of the movement on his pitches. And, you know, pitchers compensate for little discomforts. And, you know, somebody was saying, I think it was Fujikawa anyways, or Yu Darvish or someone, I said, you know what, at this time of year, pitchers want to play through their injuries because they know that games mean that much and they try to disregard the injury. And so if he's pulling himself from the mound, he knows that it is something that he can't just play through anymore. So, yeah. Okay. So a couple more guys, catcher Yuki Sakaeda, whose name you may have never heard. He did get called up to the top squad. I think it was around the 11th of October. But fractured a rib on the 13th or 14th, did not get any playing time on the top squad, which is unfortunate because if you think back to the 18-game win streak they had on the farm, he was the catcher in, I think, 13 of those games or 11 of those games. So he's really making an impact and growing as a catcher. And I think, well, we'll talk catchers in the after show, but I think he could be one of the answers to this equation that we're going to present you. As long as he gets better. Yusuke Oyama pulled some back muscles and missed either two or all three games against the Giants during this stretch. And then he also sat out most of the first game against the Swallows that we just finished up on the 19th. So there's some concern there as well. He missed some time earlier in the season with back injuries. And again, this might explain why his power is not what it was last year.
Wasn't that somewhat related to getting hit? By pitch?
Hit by the pitch. Yeah. Could be. At least one of them could be explained by that. Or no, I guess like the recent back injury could be explained by that. But yeah, the one before that, earlier this season, I'm not really sure.
Right. That's separate. Yeah.
Lastly, a name that we don't hear very much on this show is John Edwards, because he hasn't been up on the top squad in ages. I think what I heard is he had an MRI or something done on his arm. And fortunately, it is not an elbow or shoulder injury, but he does have tendonitis. I think it's in his forearm. So that's also never good for a pitcher, but I think he's probably being shut down for the season as well. All right, and that'll do it for the rumors and news. Before we jump into the recap, we got to thank some of our patrons out there. And at the top of the list is the podcast that we love, for the team that we now don't love. And that would be the Tokyo Swallows. Thank you to Kozo and the guys at Tokyo Swallows. Check out their podcast. They will be gloating about their team's recent success, rightfully so. So check that out. We've also got Anita. We've got Zorni. We've got Ian Hadel, who was part of the viewing party last night that we did. And also Joe from Wakayama, who joined us mid-game, but he was part of that as well. It is always fun to chat, talk baseball with the wonderful patrons out there. If you want a piece of this, we're still going to do a viewing party next month, and Patreon is kind of free over the off season. I don't charge. So feel free to join anytime during the year to get some bonus stuff out of T-Ray and H10. Okay, time to recap, and let's try to do this in an efficient way. Let me just say this. The Tigers have been doing quite well in October. Cutting to the chase, in October, we are currently 10-4-2 on the month. Not too bad. All of those four losses came in this stretch because we started on a five-game win streak, and I think that was where we were the last time that we talked. We were trying to finish off the Bay Stars, and we were really close to doing it on the 7th of October. We were leading 3-0 off an Oyama home run and a little bit extra, gave up two runs in the bottom of the fourth. And then Oyokawa gave up a two-run home run to Soto in the bottom of the eighth. That was the soul crusher. We could not come back from that. Lost it 3-4. Lost the next game against the Swallows the very next day. Haruto got roughed up early again against the Swallows. That happened the last time he faced them as well. So even though he had that 27 inning scoreless streak, it got wrecked or ended in the first inning. Gave up two runs in the first two innings and then two more in the fifth inning. And Hanshin only got a response out of an Oyama solo home run in the top of the fourth. The ump really hurt us with a brutal check swing call on Itoi. I don't know if you saw it, but that game had me really bummed about how bad the umps were. He wasn't even close to a check swing. He didn't even check with the third base umpire. He called it, and Itoi fully checked that swing. He definitely didn't go around on it.
No, I totally agree. And actually, it reminds me of what happened in the U.S. Major Leagues too, with the San Francisco Giants ending their season on a bad check swing.
True, true. And I think actually, so for the Itoi one, I think the bases were loaded, or we were definitely mid-scoring chance. It was two outs, and so that strike literally ended any hopes we had of coming back in that inning. Okay, fortunately, the next day we had a good one. We won 2-1 thanks to some brilliant pitching by Akiyama early, and then some clutch pitching by Iwazaki and Suarez late, where I think Iwazaki had the bases loaded and one out, or was that Suarez? It was. And then he had to face Yamada and Murakami. Yeah, that was Suarez. And it was like, oh no, walk off loss. No, say it ain't so. And he got them both. So outstanding pitching from Suarez. Man, he is, as far as pitchers go, he's the MVP. You know, you can say Aoyagi all you want, but Suarez has been lights out this year.
He has been lights out. Seriously.
Yeah. Because after he pitches, the stadium lights go out because it's game over and Tigers win. Okay. So accounting for our offense there, Oyama with an RBI single top of the first and Shimada with an RBI double in the top of the seventh to get us the win. Unfortunately, we were unable to parlay that into another win over the Swallows, and we needed it. This was the series that we needed to win, both to send a message and also to get us closer in the standings. It didn't happen. We lost 6-4. We left 17 guys on base in this one. We even led the game 4-2. But Baba and Oyokawa gave up a couple of runs. They combined to give up a couple of runs in the bottom of the fifth. And then Alcantara gave up two runs in the bottom of the sixth. So, we lose that series 2-1. And it looks like the pennant is going to the Swallows, which it still hasn't, just to spoil what's coming ahead. Okay, what's coming ahead is this. Going up against the Giants at Tokyo Dome. History's on the line here. Can we get a winning season series against them this year? Can we continue the recent good play we've done against them? The answer to both of those is yes. 2-1 win on, what was that, Friday? I don't know. I've lost track of days. 2-1 win in the first one. We got four singles that brought us two runs in the top of the second, and then we had chances in the top of the fifth and sixth, really good chances, didn't score. Giants scored one in the bottom of the sixth. They had chances in the bottom of the seventh and eighth, but Suarez again came through. This time, actually, it was a four-out save, which is quite unusual for him and for the Tigers to call on him to do. But good one there to start that series. Yeah, that must have been a Tuesday game. Okay. Then Wednesday, we tie it up against the Giants with a 2-2. As we said earlier, Nishi left this game after one and a third or two thirds, I don't forget, two runs against for him. And then fortunately, we got one run out of Itohara, Kinami, and Sakamoto in the top of the second. Pretty unlikely guys to produce a run. But Sakamoto, I think it was a single or a sac fly? I don't remember. One or the other. And then in the top of the fourth, Sakamoto with a solo home run to tie it up. This was against, was it against the smirking one? Was it Smagano? I think it was.
I think it was Smagano.
Yeah. So a 2-2 tie. That's how this one ends. Pretty exciting game though. And then, yeah, again, the relievers were outstanding. Baba, Ito went three innings in this one out of the bullpen. Alcantara was great. And then Suarez had some trouble. It was runners on second and third with one out, but he struck out the last two batters to preserve the tie. Those ties feel good. The last tie we're going to talk about soon, it does not feel good. Anyways, we ended this season against the Giants with an outstanding 3-0 win. The game was scoreless through 8 innings. Haruto allowed only one hit to the Giants through 7 innings, striking out 11. So back to his completely dominant self. The Tigers had a great chance in the top of the 4th that they blew. But in the top of the 9th, Nakano and Chikamoto got singles. And then Itayama, the unlikely hero, with an RBI double that was inches from being a home run. And then he got brought home by Kinami. Chikamoto got brought home by Kinami. So we got the 3 runs. And then Suarez, with his 41st save, struck out Sakamoto, struck out Maru, and induced a fly out of Okamoto. So the series against the Giants ends, the season series. 13 wins, 9 losses, 3 ties. First time in 14 years, my brother, that we win the season series against them.
About time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we got to keep this going consistently. I mean, this isn't something we want to wait another 14 years for. Please.
No, not at all.
Please. Yeah. Okay, moving on. We got 4 more games to talk about. 2 against the Carp, 2 against the Swallows. We lost the first of these. It was home run day for the Carp. Solo home run day, really. Akiyama gave up 3. Hayashi and Ugusa in the top of the, I forget, 3rd, maybe. And then Suzuki with a solo home run, also against Akiyama. Rojas replied with a 2-run home run, and it was a big, deep one. He was batting from the right side, where people say he has no power. He does. And then Suzuki got another solo home run against Alcantara to seal the win for the Carp. 4-2 final. Terrible. We've got to win every game from now on, is what they're telling us. So let's do it. October 18th against the Carp. Once again, Masashi Ito, brilliant. 7 innings pitched, no runs against. Tigers score 3. They score in the bottom of the 3rd, thanks to an extra base hit out of rookie Teruaki Sato, his first extra base hit in ages. It was a double, and then he advanced to 3rd on an error, and then a sack fly brought him home. Bottom of the 7th, 3 singles plus an Itoi sack fly get us a 2nd run. And then Iwazaki, kind of the victim of some tough luck or just some fine hitting. Chono must have been practicing his golf swing, because he swung at one that was down at the cleats and he golfed it into center for an RBI single. But that was it. The exciting part of this game for me was the last at-bat, Suarez versus Seiya Suzuki. Possible major league matchup in the making right there, because I think they could both be heading stateside. And Suarez with 163 kilometers per hour and put Suzuki out. It was a grounder to 3rd. Okay. The most important series of the season. 2-gamer against the Swallows at home. They're both must-win games for us. And we come out with the lineup, right? Like Shimada batting leadoff, Kinami playing 2nd base, Ito Hara playing 3rd base. Like, are we really trying to win this game, is what I was asking myself. Yeah, how about 11-0? Chikamoto with a 3-run home run in the 1st inning. And so now he's in double digits for home runs for the year. Good for him. 2 runs in the 4th, 4 runs in the 5th. And that includes an Aoyagi 2-run double, which was just awesome to see. They were actually considering swapping him out for a pinch hitter. Good thing they didn't. And then we got 2 more in the 7th inning. Aoyagi actually went 7 innings, allowing just 3 hits. You know, the Swallows did the whole, let's line up our left-handed hitters against Aoyagi because he's terrible against them. 3 hits against. Thank you very much, my friends. Yamada on the bench, Shiomi on the bench. Love it. The play of the game, or the determiner here, was in the top of the 1st. Bases were loaded. Looked like Aoyagi was going to fall apart. A clutch double play. And that brought the momentum in our favor, and boy, did it ever. So the 11-0 win, huge. And as is typical, and I don't know why it is this way, and people can say this all they want, but there's no science behind it, but everyone said, save your runs for tomorrow. Save some of your bat and your hitting for tomorrow. And yeah, we should have, because last night against the Swallows, Gunkel was on the mound. He was outstanding. Only one guy reached 2nd base against him in 7 2/3, I forget.
Two-thirds.
That's right. But the Tigers bats only got to 2nd base twice, or runners, I should say, got to 2nd base twice all night. We had those 2 chances, both of them with 1 out or fewer, and neither of them yielded a run. Nobody got runs in this game, 0-0 tie. And in this case, my friend, a tie is as good as a loss, because the Swallows' magic number is now 3. So there you have it. We have got 4 games left on the year. And let's jump into the hot topic, which is exactly about those 4 games.
Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English.
So as I said earlier, Sanjay, the Tigers are 10-4-2 in October. Can't ask for much more out of this team.
But we're going to have to ask for them to go 14-4-2. Isn't that right?
Yeah, because the Swallows are currently 11-4-2 this month. So they are doing a half game better than us on the month.
Unbelievable.
We're a game and a half back of them, but because of the calculation on the ties, 1.5 games back is closer to 3 games back. The reason is, even if we gain a game on them and we are, so let's say we gain 2 games on them and we're a half game ahead, our win percentage is still lower than theirs. And I think even if we're a full game ahead, our win percentage might still be lower than theirs. So to pull off this miracle, this is what has got to happen. First of all, there is pretty much no doubt about this. The Tigers have to win all 4 of their remaining games. I mean,
run the table, baby.
If we go 3-1, then we need for the Swallows to lose the rest of their games, which probably won't happen. So 4-0 is really the scenario that we're looking at. What does our schedule look like right now? Tonight, so by the time you hear this, this game will be over already, but Takahashi is facing off against the Dragons, and they've got Yanagi on the mound for them. Yanagi is outstanding against the Tigers this year with like a 0.78 or 0.89 ERA against us so far on the year. He's got the top ERA in the Central League. So what's the good news or what's the hope in this for us? Takahashi against the Dragons is 2-0 with 16 shutout innings, 7 hits against no walks and 17 Ks. So the other good news is that the Dragons, most of their wins against us on the year were at Vandalin Dome, and we're playing this one at Koshien. So we got to win that one. The next 2 games that we have are in Hiroshima, where our record is not very stellar this year. We have got what I'm guessing is going to be Takumi Akiyama against that Carp team on Saturday. So Akiyama on the year has faced the Carp 9 times already. Wow. He is 5 wins and 3 losses with an ERA of 1.99. At Mazda Stadium, his ERA is 1.96. So it doesn't seem to matter where he faces them. He's pretty good. Unfortunately, his last one was not that great, where he gave up the 3 solo home runs. But if he can kind of straighten that out, I think we'll be fine in that one. We'll either face Tamamura, whom he faced last time, or Morishita, who is outstanding. Or was last year, but he's kind of sputtered a little bit this year. So it's hard to tell if we're going to get, you know, good Morishita or not. The next day, I'm guessing we'll probably put Ito on the mound against those same Carp. In 3 games against the Carp, he is 2-0 with an ERA of 0.95. And that includes an ERA of 1.5 at Mazda Stadium. So both of those matchups look pretty good so far as the head-to-heads go. He'll either face off against Tamamura or Kuri. So Sunday, Monday last week, we faced Tamamura and Kuri. This time it's a Saturday, Sunday. So if they put them both in on short rest, it'll be the same 2 guys, but they might throw Morishita in there. Depending, he might face the Swallows tomorrow night, Friday night. That's what I'm hoping for. Put him in against the Swallows, guys, really. Okay.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. And we'll get to the Swallow schedule in a bit, because that is also going to be very important for us. But our last game of the season will be Tuesday night, October the 26th, against the Chunichi Dragons. And my guess is we're going to bring Aoyagi in for this one. And we'll probably have like Gunkel ready in the bullpen, or, you know, whoever is available in the bullpen we'll have there just in case Aoyagi sputters or we need, you know, a few extra strong innings. But Aoyagi in 5 games against the Dragons is 1 win and 2 losses with a 2.59 ERA, which is not bad. Who are they going to send up against us? It's kind of hard to say because there's 9 days between now and then, and they don't have games every day. So I don't know how they're going to shuffle their rotation, but my guess will be either Yudai Ono, Yadier Rodriguez, is that his name? Or Katsuno. Masayoshi Katsuno, one of those 3 is probably going to be the guy that we face. There's not a lot of fear in I shouldn't say that. I mean, they're all decent pitchers. Okay. Anyways, that's the breakdown. We need wins in all four of those. And I've got a question for you, Sanjay. We have done some lineup shuffling of late, and we won't get too deep into the catcher one, but we will talk about it a bit here. But catcher and then the corner outfield positions have been shuffled quite a bit of late.
Mm-hmm.
With these four games being as important as they are, the season on the line, who do you go with at catcher? Umeno, who's carried us this far, or Sakamoto, who's been red hot of late behind the dish?
You know, you got to go with your hot hand right now. And, you know, I ride it. Ride Sakamoto.
I'm in agreement with that. Yeah. Like his bat has shown flares of, or, you know, a little bit of excellence. He's also got some ability to advance runners or bunt or whatever. I don't expect he'll win games with his bat, but certainly the way that he has directed our pitchers. Yeah. Like he started wearing the mask. Was it against the Giants?
I
could be wrong, but I think that sounds about right. So yeah. Runs against 1-2-0-4-1-0-0. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the pitchers too, but it's definitely the way the catchers call in the game. A lot of the experts are saying that as well. Okay. In the corner outfield positions, we have got like six candidates, if you will. And one of them is on the farm. Shimada, Sato, Rojas, Sands, Itayama, and Onodera. Is there anyone else I'm missing that could start one of those games?
Itoy?
Oh, yeah, I guess Itoy. Yeah, sure. Okay. So anyways, who would you go with? Now, of course, you know, they like to match things up with lefty versus righty or righty versus lefty. But taking that out of the equation, who would you like to give the bulk of the playing time to in these games?
For the same reason that I said Sakamoto for catcher, I have to say Shimada for right field.
Okay.
He is hot. He's getting the job done, righty or lefty, actually, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, you love having the three speedsters hitting 1-2-3. That's a lot of pressure on the other team, pitcher and catcher. So I'm all for riding Shimada while he's still doing well.
Okay. And then what would you like to do with the other corner?
That's the one that you play matchups, I guess. You know, look at how they do versus the pitcher and whoever seems to be, you know, have the best chances, the best historical or whatever, or, you know, whatever the batting coach says, the hitting coach says is like, you know, this guy is doing well. You got to play him. And then we'll go with that. Again, it's not so much about name recognition or anything like that. It's you want the people who are doing the best, 一番調子いい, to be playing, getting the playing time.
That said, yeah, I almost feel like it's too late to tinker or experiment, which is kind of what went down last night, I felt, with starting Onodera. There, you know, there was talk like, okay, it's a left-handed pitcher, and Onodera got an RBI hit against Keiji Takahashi previously. It was in a blowout loss. It was in garbage time, but he got it. And putting him in there resulted in what a lot of people are criticizing as the play that ruined the game. We had runners on first and second with no outs, and instead of bunting them over, they tried the busta, right? They tried the fake bunt and then, you know, load them up and swing, and he popped out harmlessly. I don't think that it's time though to tinker with stuff. I wouldn't put Onodera in as starter. I wouldn't even say, well, let's give Itayama a try. Like, don't give him his first start of the year now. There's four games left. I think you kind of have to go with Rojas, who, aside from that one night where he went hitless, he was on like a six-game hitting streak. And again, then you don't necessarily have to play matchups as far as lefty righty because he's a switch hitter. Dunkel is not going to start any of these last four games, probably, which means that you can put him in without worrying about, well, are we going to be short Alcantara or, you know what I mean? So I would go with Rojas in the other one. And unfortunately for our friend Jerry Sands, you know, yeah, he's down in the Phoenix League, but call him up and take the chance that he's going to be able to face Ichigun pitching. I don't know. And same thing with Sato. Like, he's still in that slump. And there's a lot of commentators that say the man needs four at bats in order to feel comfortable and get his confidence back. And it's too late to get his confidence back in these last four games. It might take one or two games for that to happen. And it might be too late by then.
One comment on Onodera though. I actually don't disagree with Yano's decision to go for the buster. Yeah. And one more tidbit is that he had faced Takahashi in high school and hit a home run off of him. They're the same age. So there's a strong sense of rivalry between them. And Onodera Dan doesn't really want to lose to the guy that he's owned in the past. And so I think it was the right guy to have playing at the time. And the only criticism that I think it was Fukumoto and Hamanaka on Sun TV were talking about was that Onodera Dan should have choked up a little bit more. He had the bat like at full length when he was trying to go for the buster. And it should have been shorten the stroke, shorten, you know, the bat, and actually swing down on the pitch to get a ground ball going on the right side. And so that was the only execution part that didn't pan out. But the idea overall, I didn't dislike at all. And I do like your question. Call. Sorry. And I do like your call about Mel Rojas Jr. playing left field and being the switch hitter and one man platoon.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I have a legit question. How much do you think these guys practice that move, like the fake bunt and then pulling back and actually going for it?
I think they do. I think it's like a legit part of their routine.
Like daily, or is it something that they practice a lot more in the spring? Like that's kind of the other question I have. And, you know, I think certain guys are definitely more likely to be asked to do that than others. So yeah, I kind of wonder about that. The other thing, Onodera has been quite bad with runners in scoring position this year, like horribly. Like he stands out more than Oyama as far as his average goes. And
stuff like that. Ouch.
And this is a guy that, you know, I'm not trying to dog Oyama or anybody else, but Onodera looks like a kid with killer instinct and like he's got a chip on the shoulder and something to prove. But he hasn't been able to do it yet. And I think Itayama has actually been able to do that. So I love what Itayama's brought lately to the game. By the way, he did make an outstanding catch to save one of our games. And look very carefully at the replay, at least like still shots of it, he actually didn't make the catch is what people are saying. But it's so hard to tell, even from the pictures, like cameras, depends on the angle.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw the still shot you're talking about, but I don't know that that's accurate.
Right.
Like you say, the angle. And if you look at the slow replay over and over again, it looks like the glove is underneath the ball when the ball bounces in the glove effectively. Mm-hmm. And that's an out.
Yeah. Outstanding play there. And then as we said, he had the outstanding double in the game against the Giants. And so I love what he's brought late. And I think he's one of those guys kind of like Onodera who's got that chip on his shoulder. Like, yeah, how dare you overlook me? I'll show you. So I love having guys like that on the team.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he could be that lucky boy that we needed to, you know, put us over the edge over here. So, you know, you say don't give him his first start. Yeah, probably right. But I definitely want him in the game at some point in time.
Yeah, for sure. And he's got a lot of versatility as well on defense. And so he's very useful part of the team. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he spends much, if not all of next season on the top squad instead of lingering down on the farm for the whole year, especially the way he's kind of stepped up of late. Okay, let's look real quick at the Swallows schedule and what they have left, because even if we win all four of our games here, the Swallows have got a magic number of 3, which means if they win 3 of their remaining 6 games, it doesn't matter what we do. So what we're counting on here is we win all 4 and then they only win 2 of their last 6. So they got to go 2-4 or worse in order for us to pull this off. So this is what they've got. From tonight, they've got 2 games against the Carp. The Carp also have their backs against the wall right now in the sense that they still have an outside chance at the playoffs. And I've heard a lot of Tigers fans say, oh, I sure hope the Carp can pull off the miracle and the Tigers too. Well, they can't both happen.
They can't both happen. You're right.
Right. Because the Swallows have got a couple against the Giants. And if they beat the Giants in those 2 games, then that effectively ends our chances at a pennant. Well, I suppose.
No, the other way. No, it's the other way around. Because we're playing the Carp. And if we beat the Carp twice, then they can't sneak into third place.
Right. Okay, yeah. So it's that combined with the fact that the Giants have to beat the Swallows in order for us to get into first place. And so the Giants, if they win even a single game, they're in. If the Carp lose even a single game, then the Giants are in. And so their situation is a lot more dire, if you will, than ours. I mean, the Carp can still get in mathematically, but that eliminates our possibility of a pennant. So as I said, the Swallows are facing the Carp tonight and tomorrow. They are 14-5-3 against the Carp on the season. So that's bad news. The good news is that the Swallows are coming off two straight shutouts against the Tigers, which means their bats might be a little bit cold. They sent Okugawa and Takahashi up against us, who are two of their hotter pitchers, I should say. They will be facing Daichi Osera and possibly Masato Morishita for the Carp. And if those are their two guys they bring to the mound, the Carp have a legit chance of winning those two games. They're being played at Jingu, for what it's worth. And then after that, they've got two straight against the Giants. And those ones will be one at Tokyo Dome and one at Jingu. So either way, they're staying within Tokyo. I didn't look up who the Giants might be bringing to the mound, but I think probably the Swallows are going to bring Ishikawa if he's still up on the top squad. I don't remember if they deactivate him or not. And then either Jurihara or Cy Snead would be the other one that they bring in. And then if they don't bring Cy Snead in there, he might face the Bay Stars, whom they face, I think, on Tuesday, or they might bring Okugawa in against the Bay Stars, which is 1 week after he faced us. And then they end their season against the Carp on the road. And that one will be probably they'll bring Ogawa to the mound. And I'm not sure who the Carp will bring just because it's too far down the road and too irregular of a schedule right now to know. But again, three total against the Carp, and they're 14-5-3 against them so far. So we really need a favor out of Hiroshima in both ways. Lay down against us and beat the snot out of the Swallows. I mean, that if they did that, that's more than half of the puzzle for us.
That's right. That's exactly correct. Yeah.
Because the Swallows would have to win all three of their other games, assuming that we beat the Carp and then we beat the Dragons in R2.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I mean, it would put a ton of pressure if the Carp, I mean, they're the missing ingredient, or they're the, what's the word I'm looking for, man?
They're the kingmaker.
They're the X factor. They're the kingmaker. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because it always seems like season ends come down to the Carp when it comes to Tigers. Like, I go back to 2014 when I first became a fan, and the last game of the season, if the Carp had won their game against the Giants, I believe it was, the Tigers would have finished in third. Well, the Carp lost and we got second place. In 2015, if the Carp had won their last game of the season, they would have made it into the playoffs and the Tigers would have missed the playoffs, but the Carp lost and we got into the playoffs. So they've got this history of kind of helping us out a lot of times. I think actually they lost a game that allowed us to sneak in 2019 as well. So
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've been doing us a lot of favors. And if they could just do this one last one, I won't ask them for any more for the rest of my life.
Well, you know,
pretty much.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure they know that. I think it's mathematically or theoretically possible that the whole season boils down to that final game. You know, whether Yakult wins the pennant or whether the Carp make it into the playoffs. It's not inconceivable that that game determines both of those things.
Wait, they can't both. No, because
I don't know.
Anyways, well, yeah. It is going to be a very interesting end. And let me tell you something, Sanjay. Like, I'm thinking of making this my daily sports column. I'm still not sure what I'm writing about, but you know what? Baseball as an entertainment has never been better than it is in 2021. At least as far as being a Hanshin Tigers fan. And you know, my history as a fan is much shorter than yours is, but the fact that teams and players and the sport is meant to entertain fans. And I have been completely entertained by the Hanshin Tigers this year and by this pennant race. And the fact that it's come down to these final 4-6 games, well, 4 for us, 6 for the Swallows, is just such a treat. And so I just want to take this chance to thank the Hanshin Tigers for the great season that they put on for us.
Hear, hear.
And regardless of how this next part of the season goes, before we talk to you all again, I've just been thrilled. I've really enjoyed the 2021 season.
Agreed, agreed.
So we are going to kind of save the predictions factor because we've already said 100 times on this show that the Tigers are going to win the pennant. And I'm unwavering in that. I'm keeping the faith, my friend. And I'm betting you are too.
You got that right.
Okay. So if we want to cue the predictions music,
what's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen with the record going to be?
Let's just talk instead, not about predictions per se, but playoff scenarios. So there are, what, three different playoff scenarios that I can think of. One is the Carp pull off the miracle, then we end up in second place automatically and the Swallows are in first. So it'd be Tigers host the Carp and the winner would face the Swallows in round two. The second scenario is it stays as it is right now. Giants preserve their third place, Tigers stay in second, and the Swallows get first. In which case, the Tigers host the Giants in the first round for three, and the winner would face the Swallows at Jingu. And the third scenario is the one that I want to believe in and you want to believe in. And that is that the Tigers pull off the miracle, win the pennant. They would then have a bye in the first round and the Swallows would host the Giants for that first round. I don't think it's possible for it to be Tigers first, Swallows second, and Carp third. So
agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. So either way, the playoffs are going to be starting on November the 6th, which is the Saturday after probably show number 138. So we are going to be doing a kind of preview show for you next time around. Whether it's a preview of the first round or the second round remains to be seen. But those are the three scenarios that we see. The bottom line is this: the Tigers are going to be hosting playoff baseball for the first time since 2017.
Yay.
So that's good news. If you can get out to a game, good on you. I don't think I'm able to get out to any games because I think the tickets and the lotto has already happened. So boo T-Ray for not looking into that and entering the lotto. Anyhow. Just want to thank you all for tuning into H10. If you have not gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thehuntingtigers for some exciting benefits. You can also check out the website, all the sport cards, and all the other good stuff. Check me out on Twitter at the Hunting Tiger, Instagram at Hunting Tigers English News, and facebook.com/Hunting Tigers English News, I believe. Look it up in the show notes. Thank you so much for Anwar Ammer giving us some great theme music. Thank you to Sho for mixing the pod. This could not happen without you, my friend. And Sanjay, thank you for joining along on this great ride.
As always, thanks for having me along, man.
Catch you all next time. Go Tigers!